Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, "For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." No other name. Many religious leaders, many religious names in this world, there's only one name that's above every name, and that is the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What a blessing to be with you and to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's see, I almost forgot. Somebody had a birthday. Actually, two somebodies. Miss Christie, your birthday is, I thought, Tuesday. Ann Hollis. I wish she was here. What? Well, see, good thing you told on him. He'd never said nothing, would he? What? That's Holly Dawson's mama. Yeah. See, all those girls got blonde hair. Somebody's got to change. Somebody got to be a blackhead, a redhead, and something in between. Amen. I get them all confused, which is not hard for me at my age. Oh, Colton had a birthday. I almost overlooked him. He slumped down back there. He just turned 8 years old. Amen. He's getting shorter and shorter the older he gets. Happy birthday, Colton. Amen. Happy birthday, Miss Christie. You tell Miss Holly that we said happy birthday also. Hayden, I saw you the other day. You got to know I'm always watching you now, so be careful. You was on a motorbike, right? He's a man of few words, so don't worry if he's not going to say much. He's just a man of few words. All right, very good, very good. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have our Easton and our Emerson with us again, and Miss Hope and Daddy. I call him the postman. That's not his name, but that's just what I call him, the postman. Amen. Good to have the doc with us. The doc with us. Amen. Amen. Now this afternoon, Brother Donnie Hood and his bride-to-be Charlene are going to get married. Amen. So you be sure and congratulate them whenever you see them. David, my brother-in-law, is back there. He's got a birthday tomorrow, ain't it? See, I'm not going to say how old he is because I'm going to be the same age in just a couple of months. But you know how old I am. We're feeling it, ain't we, David? We couldn't climb that pier no more we used to climb, could we? We used to do some things, a lot of things we shouldn't have done, but we don't have time to talk about that, and I'm sure you're not interested anyway. Amen. Open your Bibles this morning. We're going to continue our message that we began 2 weeks ago. Last week was Mother's Day, and I pray that you all had a lovely, lovely Mother's Day. So let's begin this morning by opening our Bibles to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. We're going to read our scriptures backwards here again this morning. We'll soon go straighten them out, though, in the next series. Amen. Revelation chapter number 11. We're going to read verse number 12. Now, we've been preaching in a series for quite a while on voices from unexpected places. We've been talking about voices from heaven. We've talked about the voice of weather from heaven, the voice of warning from heaven, the voice of witness from heaven, and this morning we're talking about the voice of welcome from heaven. Now that's the one you want to hear. You want to hear the voice of welcome. Revelation chapter 11, verse 12, we find these words, "And they heard a great voice from heaven, saying unto them," now notice what this voice says, three words, "come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." Now flip backwards in the book of Revelation to chapter number 4, and we will read verse 1. Here it's applicable to the Apostle John, who was on the Isle of Patmos. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. John says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened," where? "In heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a voice of a trumpet, talking with me, which said," do these words look familiar? "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." All right, turn backward a few more books in your Bible till you come to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We're going to begin reading in verse number 13. Now, the first scripture that we read in Revelation 11 was personal to the two witnesses that God sent to preach to the nation of Israel to turn their hearts back to God and to realize that Jesus was indeed their Messiah. The second voice we read in Revelation 4 verse 1 was a personal voice to the apostle John. But hallelujah, the voice that we're about to read about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is a personal voice to me. It is a personal voice to you. And thank God, it is a voice of welcome. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read, if you will, beginning in verse 13. Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." It's always a good way to be. "Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." That's not where you want to be. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you," and this is all I'm interested in, "by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before or get ahead of them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Hallelujah. That's what we found last time we talked on this subject. We found that this voice from heaven was a comforting voice. These people at Thessalonica, they had personally met Paul. They had personally cared for Paul. They'd heard the preaching of Paul, the teaching of Paul. But not long after he left, they began to have false teachers come by that professed that they knew God, but they did not. They professed that they knew something about God, but they did not. Amen. If you read 2 Thessalonians, you'll find they even received letters from people, amen, trying to lead them against the teachings that Paul taught them. And he comforts us in this area. "I would not have you be ignorant," he said, "concerning them which are asleep." So we find a New Testament truth that the people who know the Lord, the saints of God that are saved, whenever they die bodily in this world, they may die bodily, but they are not dead spiritually and in soul. Amen. But the Bible refers to them not as being dead, but being asleep. He says, "Them that sleep in Jesus. What does he mean? He's talking about saints that have passed away, gone on, who knew the Lord. Well, these deceivers had told these people at Thessalonica that they are going to miss something when Jesus comes, because these people lived with a constant anticipation of Jesus returning in their day. Now, my friend, that was 2,000 years ago. He hasn't come yet. But that doesn't negate the fact that, yes, one day he is coming, nor does it negate the fact that they believe that he was coming in their day. And my friend, that anticipation had a great power and reward in their lives. So it's a comforting voice we talked about, but it was also a conditional voice. He said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." What is the condition for you being a part of those who will be going with Jesus, or those who will be coming with Jesus? That you believe that Jesus died and rose again. That's a part of the gospel, the third leg of the gospel. Why is it necessary? Because, my friend, if you don't believe that God was able to bring his own son out of that grave, how can you possibly believe he'll bring you out of that grave one day? Hallelujah. Amen. His resurrection is the guarantee, my friend, that one of these days God's going to resurrect this old body of mine and fashion me a brand new one like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on to our third point. The third point of this is not only a comforting voice, not only a conditional voice, but it is a certain voice. A certain voice. Amen. Look what he said. In verse number 15, the first part, he said, "For this we say," he says, what I am about to tell you, "be assured of this, we say unto you by the word of the Lord." Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you something. That's not enough to satisfy this world. That's not enough to please this world. But if you were a saint of God, then you can take comfort, my friend, that you can believe God's word. Because if you can't believe God's word, you cannot believe his promises. You cannot believe that he has the power to do what he said he would do. Amen. It's a certain voice. Hallelujah. He said, "I want you to know something." And this is glorious here. Listen, if you go back later and read Galatians chapter 1, here's what Paul's going to say, because he's giving them a divine message there also. He says, "I want to tell you something. When I met the Lord and God saved me," he said, "I didn't go down to Jerusalem." He said, "I remained in Arabia and other parts for 3 years before I ever met any of the apostles of God that had walked with him and had been saved. Therefore, I want you to know my gospel that I'd already preached for 3 years, I didn't get from them." And he tells them there, "What I'm preaching to you is not man's message. I got it from God." He had a divine encounter with God on the road to Damascus, and he had divine encounters with God after that, my friend, for 3 years when he was in Arabia. Hallelujah. He said, "What I'm telling you, nobody told me." He's not even saying that I'm going to give it to you and quote it to you out of the Bible. What he's saying is that what I'm telling you, God himself, Jesus Christ himself told me, and I'm telling it to you. Therefore, my friend, it is a reliable message. Came right from the mouth of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know this is the Word of God. It may have had different penmen, I like to use that word. It may have had different penmen, but my friend, they didn't write down their ideas, amen. You know, I hate going to seminaries and schools and they trying to teach Paul's personality and Peter's and all these things. And yes, they had personalities, but when it come to writing the Word of God, that had nothing to do with it. For holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This book is a recorded book. This book is written that we can understand it. But my friend, this book came from heaven. It's not an earthly book. Hallelujah. He said, this is a certain message. It's a reliable message. You can count on it because it is the word of the Lord. That's where I got it. Now, my friend, I've heard all I need to hear about what the world's got to say. Nothing I've heard in a long time really does anything to encourage my soul. Rather than that, my friend, it discourages me, worries me, troubles me. Amen. But I tell you why I'm here this morning. I want to hear what God has to say. That's why I studied before I prepared this message. I had to hear it from God before I could ever give it to you. Amen. It's a reliable message. My friend, it's also a revealed mystery. Now, you need to get a hold of this. What Paul is writing here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is nowhere else revealed in the Old Testament anywhere. The Old Testament saints didn't have any concept or idea about the church as you and I know it. The church is called a mystery. What is a mystery? It's not something you got to figure out. It's a secret that has been hidden up to a certain point where it is then revealed. The church is a mystery. Paul teaches that. Amen. But what he's talking about here is a mystery. What is that mystery? That mystery that if we live till Jesus comes, and he can come anytime. There are no requirements, there are no deadlines, no necessities to occur before Jesus parts the heavens and returns to get his bride. He can come at any minute. I believe that. I believe that, and we ought to live that way. But God revealed to Paul that that generation that lived till Jesus does come in what we call the rapture of the church, they will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, I want you to see that. Flip back a few pages in your scripture. Flip back a few pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read that to you. There, Paul indeed calls it a mystery. A mystery. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse number 50. Listen to what the scripture says. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What's he talking about? The body that you and I have cannot go to heaven. Not simply because it is a body of sin, but it is a body that is not wired for the environment. Friend, you and I can't ride one of them spaceships up to space, open up the hatch and walk outside and see what's going on. We won't last long, will we? Why? We're not wired for it. That's why they wear all them bulky suits and things that they wear. Amen? That's it. He said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption. There's that sinful body inherit incorruption. Now look what he says, verse 51. You ought to have it marked. I've got it marked. Behold, I show you what? A mystery. Now, what is a mystery? It is a hidden revelation, a secret that has not been revealed before this point in time. Paul says, I'm going to reveal something to you that the saints of God have not known until I make it known to you right now through the word of the Lord. Here's the mystery, the secret. We shall not all sleep. What does that mean? Not everybody's going to die. Amen. A lot of people would be like to be a part of that group, wouldn't they? Amen. That not all men are going to die. We shall not all sleep. Now, when he uses the word sleep, you know who he's talking about. He's not talking about this lost world out here. He's talking about the children of God. That not all the children of God are going to die. There are going to be some living when Jesus returns. He says, but, here's the second part of the secret. We shall all be changed. Changed. How long is it going to take? Look at the next verse. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Take note of that. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. But when they are raised, they will no longer be corruptible. There will no longer be rotting, sinful bodies. But that body will then be an incorruptible one, and we shall be changed. Glory to God. That's a mystery. That's a secret that was real. That was a special revelation that God gave the Apostle Paul to share with you and me. Hallelujah. And ain't it a good one? Hallelujah. That's what he said. Amen. He said, I want to tell you something. I say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, the same people he was talking about, shall not prevent, go before them which are asleep. Now, who were these people concerned about as they were writing to Paul? Their loved ones that had passed away and departed. So what he's writing here is to fill them in to correct the error that they had come acquainted with, that they weren't going to miss anything having to do with the coming of the kingdom of God because they'd passed away. That they're not going to miss anything. He said, for the coming of the Lord, they shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. Hallelujah. So it is a certain voice. But hallelujah, it is a collecting voice. Look what he said in verse 16. What's the first word? Before. Conjunction. You could say, because. This is going to happen when the Lord returns. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Do you remember reading that in verse 15, about 1 Corinthians 15, about the trump and the trumpet? Do you remember that? Huh? With the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So my friend, if Jesus was to come in the next moment of time, the first thing that would happen was all of these graves of the saints of God that are back here, my friend, would open, and the dead in Christ would rise first. Hallelujah. Brother Ike, be ahead of me again. I'm going to catch his heel if I can. They will rise. And as they rise, Paul said, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Together means with somebody. With who? Them that have come out of those graves. Brother, we're going together. Amen. Shall be caught up together with them to a place where? In the clouds. In the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air. And so, or thusly, we shall ever be with the Lord. Brother, we cross a line of no return. Amen. Things will never be the same after that. So we first see, first of all, the revelation in this voice of his person. Notice it didn't say the Lord shall descend. What did he say? The Lord himself. What is that doing? That is worded that way to identify the person of the coming one is the same as the person of the one who was here and departed. I've heard people say, will we know each other in heaven? Well, my way of thinking of it is, if we didn't know each other, it certainly wouldn't be much of a heaven, would it? Amen. But let me ask you this. Peter, James, and John, did they know Elijah? No, they lived hundreds of years after Elijah and Moses. But when they appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus and they were there, they knew exactly who they were, didn't they? Amen. Amen. Guess what? I've never met Jesus, my Savior, physically. I don't know what he looks like. The TV likes to to conjecture and put things together to say, this is what Jesus looked like. I don't pay any attention to him. I don't know what he looked like, but I'll tell you this, when I see him, I will know him. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Acts chapter 1, my friend. There they walked out to the Mount of Olives. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that Jesus ascended up into the clouds. And the Bible says this, he was taken out of their sight. Do you notice where he went when he left? In the clouds. How many of you have ever flown in an airplane? Probably a lot of you. I remember when I first flew to England, way, way back then. I don't know if I was in body or out of body, but I went one time. And that's what I was thinking. Oh, what's it going to be like to go through those clouds and then rise above them and be so high that as you look down at the clouds, they literally just look like a white cotton bed. It's absolutely amazing. As he was carried up into those clouds, there were two individuals in white who were there. We see two individuals a lot through the scripture. Here's two as he goes up. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, these two men said this, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the Lord himself, which is taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Glory to God. The Lord himself. He's not sending somebody else to get his bride, brothers and sisters. He's coming himself to get his bride. Glory to God. The revelation of his person. What I call the resonance of his presence. Three things associated with his coming. Are you ready? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's why most Baptists won't hear him. Shout scares them. They'll be running to the bathroom. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, number one. Number two, with the voice of the archangel. And one other thing, with the trump or trumpet of God. Ooh. They may come take me to jail today, but I'm not leaving quietly. Jesus may come today, but he ain't coming quietly. Amen. You know who's going to hear him? Those who have an ear to hear. Do you remember what Jesus said? Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. First thing, the voice of the Lord. That's what he said. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout. I've got a message I may preach on Wednesday nights one of these days if I live long enough. And I entitle it, The Power of a Shout. What a shout can do. But we don't have time for that right now. What is the implication when the Bible says that he will descend with a shout? Now, I'm going to clue you in on something here. That word, which is translated shout here, that is the only place in the Bible that word is found. That makes it a unique word, and it makes it a special word, a powerful word, an important word. And the word literally means not to just make a beller, like I do when I sing, but it means to issue an order or a command. It ain't just a racket. It's an order. Now, if the Lord's going to descend and shout, what is he going to shout? You always way ahead of me. You know, I don't know what he's going to shout, but I've got a pretty good idea. In the book of Revelation, when John heard that sound from heaven, when those two saints heard that voice from heaven, what did it say? Come up hither. Hey, you don't have to believe it. I can't prove it. But son, it sounds good to me. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember in Jesus, in John chapter 11, where he came to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and they said, he said, where is the tomb? Martha said, you don't want to go there. He's been there 4 days, and by now, she said it, not Jesus, by now he stinks. Jesus didn't say, but he implied, I don't need any details, just where is he? He knew where he was, but what was he wanting to do? What he always does, he wants others to be involved in that experience. And they showed him where the tomb was. What did Jesus do? First thing he did was he wept. He wept. But then the Bible says, listen now, he spake with a loud voice. What is a loud voice? It's a shout. And what did he say? He didn't say, come up hither, because it wasn't time. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says Lazarus came out of that tomb bound. He didn't walk out. He didn't slide out. Son, he floated out. What's going to happen when he says to us, children, come up hither, son, we're going to float out of here, son. He's going to break the grip of gravity that it's had on me for 75 years. And, son, I'm going up like a rocket. That's why I always say, Brother Larry, bear me in a PVC pipe standing up. When the Lord comes, I'll shoot out of there like a Roman candle. Hallelujah. I'll already be in the position. Amen. The Lord shall descend with a shout. I'm going to have to quit, ain't I, Brother Jimmy? And with the voice of the archangel. Now let me give you a little clue here about this archangel. The Bible only calls one angel. I've heard many preachers say there are many archangels. And there may be. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. There's only one that the Bible names by name. And his name is Michael. Do you notice that it said the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout? He didn't say, and with the voice of a archangel. He said the voice of the archangel. That in English is called a definite article. And it usually speaks only of one. The archangel. Not the second highest angel. Not he over the third platoon, but the archangel, the highest angel there is in heaven, and his name is Michael. Michael. And the Bible says the Lord shall descend from heaven and with the voice of the archangel. The Lord has a message. Come up hither. The angel's got a message. The angel's got a message. Why is there an archangel there? Now, he's not alone. If you read the gospel, you'll hear Jesus say that when he comes into his kingdom and the mighty angels with him. Do you hear that? Why would they be there? Because, son, there's some angels down here right now that do everything in the world to prevent it from happening. But there ain't none of them ever whipped old Michael, and they ain't going to whip old Michael. Amen? With the voice of the archangel. Well, what do you reckon Michael's going to say? Well, I really don't know. Once again, I have to kind of assume. So you don't have to take this as the gospel that I'm about to say. But I remember reading in Matthew 25 about a wedding ceremony. A man was engaged to his bride. And back then in Jewish times, they would be espoused. You remember Joseph and Mary were espoused to each other. It was the same as being married, but the marriage ceremony had not taken place. And so as soon as they were espoused, the groom would go off and he would either build them a home and come back to receive them, or he would build onto his daddy's home that he was going to inherit a place for them to live. And after he prepared them a place to live, he would come back with a procession to collect his bride. The Bible tells us about these 10 virgins who were there with the bride. And they had lamps with oil, should have. And what was their purpose? To keep an eye out for the return of the groom. And the Bible says, while they slept about midnight, a voice cried out. Do you know what that voice said about midnight? Behold, the groom, the husband, he's coming. And this was the rest of his message. You ready for it? Go ye out to meet. Remember, God always does things with two witnesses. First, there's his own shout. Then there's that of the archangel. And he's not talking about himself. Guess what he says? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Hallelujah! We sing the song many times. One glad morning, I'll fly away. But there's one other sound. What is that? It's the trumpet of God. The trumpet of God. Three sounds that resonate. Now, what is the significance of the trumpet? If you'll find in the Old Testament, when Moses brought the children of Israel to Mount Sinai, God said, prepare yourself 3 days to meet me. To meet me. And whenever they went up to that mountain, they heard thunder. They heard lightning. They heard a trumpet that sounded terribly loud. So much so, when that trumpet sounded, the people began to tremble. You know what they said? Moses, you go ahead. We're going to wait right here. You come tell us what God had to say. We don't want to go no further. Amen. And so, as God established the nation of Israel, he told them three times they were to sound a trumpet. First, the trumpets were sounded to assemble the people together to worship God. They sounded for worship. Secondly, the trumpets were blown to gather the people together for war if an enemy was coming. Thirdly, the trumpets were sounded simply to gather the people together. An issue came up in the nation, whatever it might be. The trumpet was sounded to assemble the people together. Do you see the significance of the trump of God? I want to tell you something, my friends. It's going to be an audible trumpet. Now, I don't know if the world's going to hear the sound of this trumpet, but I'll tell you this. There are six more coming that they will hear. And I don't care about hearing them, but brother, I want to hear this one. Why does that trumpet say, gather yourselves together? What's the point here? The dead ones, the sleeping ones, and we who are alive and remain, who are changed in the moment of in the twinkling of an eye, will come together and we'll rise to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Brother, I wish he'd come right now. Son, we'd bust through this roof, this ceiling. Brother Ike, Miss Carol, and them be coming out, all these saints out here in this yard come up together, and we gather together with them as that trumpet sounds, and we head for glory to meet the Lord in the clouds of the air. I'm going to tell you, it sounds like a fairy tale. It's so wonderful. But it's not. It's real. It's real. It is a voice from heaven. Jesus told his disciples one day, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Hallelujah. What a wonderful message from the Bible, the Word of God. But what's the important thing this morning? The important thing to know this morning is that you're ready for the coming of the Lord. That you're not one of the dead, but you're one of them that sleepeth. Amen. Now listen. We're all going to meet God one day. And you don't want to leave this world and meet God in judgment without meeting beforehand. Amen. You see, saints aren't born, they're born again. Saints don't become saints on their own. They're regenerated, incorruptible. Amen. At some point in time in life, we have to come to a point where we realize that Jesus of Nazareth, the historical man, was crucified, not because of anything he did. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, but he came out of that tomb. Have you ever believed that? Oh, you may have heard of it, just like I did. But have you ever believed that and made it real and said to yourself, Lord, that which you did for me, I believe and I accept. And when you come to gather your bride and your saints, I want to be one of them because I believe that Jesus died and rose again. Have you ever done that? Why don't you do that today? Why don't you do that today while the Holy Spirit calls? Because before I go out that door this morning, Jesus may come again. Oh, yes. I've heard that all my life. Well, it don't change reality, does it? Huh? There was a time I never saw TV till I walked by the Western Auto, and there it was in there. I hear what you're saying. Are you really that old? Oh, yeah. Amen. If you're not ready, hey, listen, get ready this morning. It's not hard. You know why? Jesus did all the work. Brother, you come lead us. Brandywine, Miss Ivory.